What is up, business owners, entrepreneurs, and probably my grandma? This is Business Vibe. In today's business interview, we speak with Adriana Laika, who has built and sold a $3 million a year AI photography business with her husband. And now she is taking us through what it's like to create another $1 million company. My favorite part of this interview is she tells us how she validates every business idea she has for under $100. Enjoy. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and what inspired you to become an entrepreneur? I know you've ran several businesses and companies.
I'll start from what inspired me. I think it was more my dad inspired me, I'd say. He was always an entrepreneur. He always had a business idea. And I think he's kind of, you know, throughout his life, he's like shared his ideas with me. So he was always making sure that I'm involved in, at least I'm learning from what he's doing. He's had a trucking business. He's had, you know, like a security camera business. And then more recently, he got into more like a tech SaaS. So he got into a healthcare SaaS business where he's like created a billing system for nursing homes. And so on. So I've always been around him as like an entrepreneurial figure. And he just made me believe that I want to just, if I just have an idea one day, I wake up and I want to do it, I can do it. So yeah, I think he's kind of instilled that in me and it's always been part of me. But it truly came out only after university when I realized I don't seem to be fitting into a lot of corporate places. And I really tried. I think I finally gave up on the corporate world after doing HSBC. So it's one of the banks in Hong Kong. I just kind of finally realized I'm not fitting into a mold. I kept on like envisioning I can become the CEO. And then I kept on getting hit by this corporate ceiling, like, no, you can't. And I'm like, you know what? Okay, if I can do it in another company, I'll just do it for myself. And I finally took the leap a few years back to just kind of do what my dad did. I have an idea this weekend. Let me see how it's going to work. How much is it going to cost to launch? And yeah, just go from there.
I think a lot of people can relate to that. Joined the corporate world, had a job they thought was going to be something that didn't. And they said, hey, let's start my own thing.
I did love the corporate world. There's a lot of things that I love. The only thing that I didn't is that I could see my ceiling. That was the only issue.
Preparing for this interview, you mentioned that you owned a lot of different businesses and companies. What have been some key learnings you've been able to learn in your entrepreneurial journey?
I think with every startup, there's always a learning, but I think the consistent learning has been hire better people, like a lot better. And when I first started my entrepreneurial journey, I thought, okay, I'm going to learn as many skills as possible to become a generalist, right? I'm going to learn how to do, obviously, like no code websites. I'm going to learn how to build a marketing funnel, how to do like direct sales, like just, I'm going to learn everything, obviously performance ads as well. That was a huge one for me. And sure, I've also learned it from my career, but it's not often that you have to do everything by yourself. So while I learned how to do all of these things, I think it was like my third startup, which actually failed. That's where I finally, for the first time, I started letting go. I'm going to hire like a really good contractor, or I'm going to hire a really full-time person to do this. And very interesting for me, I thought that was the right thing to do because everybody kept on telling me you can't do everything. I honestly kind of failed because all of a sudden I had a really large team. It was a sports marketplace. We were trying to compete with Mindbody in Asia. And that was the first time I really hired a lot of people. And for me, a lot of people was, you know, hiring 20 people before even hitting any revenue. Like that was a lot. I really believed in the business. But yeah, so I just decided to hire people that are really good at their craft, like a really good performance manager, a really good designer, a really good like product manager. And all of a sudden I realized like, I'm not moving any faster. We're not getting more clients than I thought we could. And I think ever since then, this was like almost four years ago that I ran that into the ground. I realized that as long as in the very early beginnings, like before growth, I'm just going to do everything myself because I know how to. That was my biggest learning is like, learn as much as possible, but don't let go until you're truly ready to let go.
So that kind of answers my question. I was going to ask you if you kind of regret learning all those things instead of just hiring.
No, I really thought, you know, I'm going to hire people and we're going to go faster, but we didn't. It was a really huge learning lesson. And so like the current companies that I have, they're very small agile teams. I do not overhire. If I can see like somebody has the capacity to learn one more skill, I'm going to teach him that skill. Or again, I'm going to come in and I'm going to be very hands-on, but I want to know exactly what is happening in the business. So I can very clearly see like, is this going to go well? Like I need to see the green flags myself or the red flags.
So you like to keep it small now?
Now keeping it very small. They're just, I call them pods. So they're pods, like it's an engineer, it's a designer, and it's a marketer, and that is it. I'll tell you one more that the previous marketplace startup, I started with a co-founder and he also was in the same mindset as me. So full disclosure, it's actually now my husband. So we've been running a lot of startups together. He joined me because he saw me like running all these startups, and he just decided one day, can I join you on one? And so he did. But he's an engineer by trade. And in this marketplace that we were running, the sports one that we closed down, he was also in the same mindset where, you know, why don't we just outsource it because we can run faster? And he was still working at a hedge fund back in the day. So he's like, you know, why don't this agency, you know, develop it? And that was another really big lesson where, again, this, we had no idea what's going into the code. So when things were breaking down, we had no idea what we actually needed to fix. No more outsourcing, absolutely ever. Like, okay, not ever, but definitely not something that I will be doing in the beginning of stage. Like no engineering outsourcing, no marketing outsourcing. We're doing as much as possible in-house so we know what goes into the product and so that we know what's happening with our customers.
And by outsourcing, do you mean like hiring like freelancers or are you gonna?
I would say hiring agencies is an, for me, like, I'm sure there are scenarios where it works for people, but not for me. I don't want to work with agencies. I really want to just keep it as much as possible in-house. I do like working with freelancers that are contract-based. We are doing that. I wouldn't say that we're not doing that, but they're not hourly. They are literally like, you're here with us for a year. Here's your 1 year contract.
And so moving kind of into like your current project, Stella, what inspired you to start that?
The most immediate thing was we have another company, Try It On, which we're currently selling. So it's an AI photography business. It's done phenomenally well, and I've absolutely loved it. But I realized that the market potential for that was just not as big. I don't know. There's something in me. I'm like, okay, we can do something bigger. We can do something that's not just, you know, a 1 month recurrent transaction. It was really fun to build it, but I kind of, again, I'm like, okay, this is as far, I think, as I can take it. I don't think there's more that I can do, or at least not me. You know, hopefully this company that's buying it out can take it further. But yeah, so I'm like, okay, what else can I do that's going to be, it's going to have greater impact on like people around me and also on what I do myself. Marketing is something that like, that's my bread and butter. That's what I've been doing for the past 10 years. So it kind of just made sense to build something in the space. And obviously with my co-founder's expertise in AI and ML, we kind of just sat down and it's like, there's something here and it hasn't yet been disrupted. There's a lot of tiny, like not tiny, some of them are already huge, like Taplio, for example. They decided, you know what, we're going to go after this personal brand market and I'm going to help people go viral on LinkedIn. There's a bunch of other ones, ManyChat, which is basically like they're crushing it in the automation chat industry, you know, like on social. Everybody's kind of like, I'm just going to do this one tiny thing and that's it, right? And I'm going to, which is not a bad thing, but nobody's building a solution where it allows me as a marketer not to manage 31 plus tools. So my massive pain point is, and Corey, I mean, like maybe you're the same, like, you know, you're running this podcast, you literally have at least 5 tools for like editing everything. And then you need to market it and publish it and run a newsletter and then analytics. Like it gets so exhausting. So the idea is literally like Nathan, my co-founder, he's seen me just with every single startup because I'm not necessarily letting go, right? Until I find that perfect person. He's seeing what every single like small business owner goes through and every what startup founder goes through. It's this exhaustion where you're doing everything and there's no tool that can just alleviate some of the tedious automation tasks. So we literally decided to build that. Like, can we help solve our own pain points when we're doing startups? And now every single time we do startups, we have a set of marketing activities that we run. So we have our own playbook, right? So we're literally automating some of those tasks that I would do manually. So that was why we started. So those are the two reasons why we started Stella. One is a bigger market opportunity, far more exciting technically and product speaking, and also just solving our own pain point.
I was getting a little ahead of myself and maybe describe what Stella AI is. And I think you kind of just got into it there.
Honestly, like we're starting off with, and I don't know if you do like any of this, but if you're doing any kind of social content, you're going every single day on TikTok, on Instagram, on LinkedIn. There's a few tools that you can use, but they're not perfect to identify what are those viral trends that I should probably be partaking in. So yes. Even this exercise of like doom scrolling for popular content, I'm like, can you just like take it away from me? Can you just tell me what is trending in my industry? That is like, okay, so that's obviously okay. Feature number one. Feature number two, that it's a tiny little growth hack, but it works like magic. And I recommend it to every single founder. You have your, whichever account you have, whether it's Instagram, TikTok, or Instagram, you have to follow potential clients in your business niche, right? So for example, for Stella, that is startup founders that are just starting out or small business owners, right? are kind of struggling with their marketing. And you can kind of see based on their presence that they're struggling, right? They're not posting consistently. It doesn't look that good. Literally, the growth hack is to follow your potential clients, your potential users, and engage them. You follow them, you like, you comment, right? So do that at least, I recommend at least 10 people a day per social media channel account. And you see that majority of the time, they actually follow back and engage, and they're excited about what you have to offer, as long as you follow the right people and they'll engage. And majority of even the Stella signups, majority are from this little growth hack that I did. That's it. So we're automating this as a growth hack. So now Stella will tell you, these are the people you should follow, engage, and it's going to suggest the comments, but it's not going to post on your behalf because I've seen it go really wrong. So you have to double check yourself. I've done it now so many times, even in our corporate, when I worked at the bank, it's just so easy and you just do it and it works. So yeah, automating this. And then we've got just one more feature. So we've got basically, these are the three features. So it's here's your viral content. Would you like to recreate it? Here are the people you should follow and engage with to grow your following. And then the third one is influencer collabs. For me, doing the due diligence on either micro or really large influencers, it's also exhausting, right? Because obviously you want to message at least 25 people because hopefully one of them is going to get back to you with fair pricing, right? But the due diligence of checking, do they have real followers? Do they have real engagement? What is their engagement ratio? And do they actually care about your industry? Have they ever said something that has to do with, I don't know, let's say you're in food. Have they ever posted something about food? So just removing this due diligence and making the match better. So we're now Stella basically is going to surface up. These are really good potential collab people for you. And it's going to give you a little collab idea. And then you can obviously edit the collab idea or send it.
I mean, that's a brilliant idea. And I remember when TikTok was really, taken off, I 100% know what you're talking about, because we had started something where we needed to put out short form content. And it's if you get on TikTok for 5 seconds, you can see you can start to understand that there's stuff that really does take off. But I mean, scrolling and scrolling to find that out, it's terrible. It's horrible.
Somebody was telling me the other day, they feel like they're essentially a prisoner to the algorithm. And obviously a lot of us are, both professionally and personally. But I'm if you can just cut out at least, 2 hours of doom scrolling, I'm going to be so happy.
And now, so what platforms does Stella work for? Does it work for all social platforms?
So we'll first launch small. And then obviously, as a good marketer, you need everything. So we're first going to launch just with Instagram, WhatsApp, and LinkedIn. And then we already have the LinkedIn integration. We have TikTok integration coming up. So we've got a few more integrations, but we're not going to launch all at once just for now, because I kind of want people to I want them to use it. And I really want the soundbite where they're complaining almost why don't you have TikTok? I really need to hear it. So I'm not going to launch everything at once. I need a few for lack of a better word, complaints to come through.
The people are begging for it. That's your validation.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, okay. I really can't wait for that moment.
I'm about to start Twitter really soon, or X or whatever. And I mean, that sounds amazing for starting that out. So I'm hoping that's coming soon too.
Absolutely. Twitter was one of the easiest integrations, but everybody else, Meta and LinkedIn were so hard because their integration, No, I'm not complaining. Sorry. No.
I think there's a stigma behind it. People on the internet just think that building a business is easy, and they see the people that are building and they've had major successes. Well, you're an overnight success, 10 years in the making, right? You've worked and worked and worked to get there. And so I love all parts of business, the good and especially the dirty.
For that one, Nathan, obviously he's the technical co-founder, and he can just, when we first started out, we're going to have the MVP launch. We really thought we're going to be live by now. So we're kind of 11 days late, and all we're waiting for is the Meta integration. They have a new person that reviews every single time that you submit a ticket to review. So that means that person might be asking exactly the same questions as the previous person, but there's no trail. I really hate complaining, but it's been more why is X so easy? Their engineers are on top of it. Cool, you follow the rules, you did it. I get what the product does. Because that's the most important part. What does the product do, and does it bring value to my platform or to my customers? Yes or no?
Right.
That's what they need to kind of, that's the qualitative stuff. And then the quantitative, have you followed the API rules? Have you properly integrated it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the Meta has just been really hard, and LinkedIn as well. We're getting there.
So if anybody from Meta is listening, you need to get on it.
It's just, we totally thought, it's going to take 1 month. It's already 2.5 months.
So it's a substantially harder.
It is. Yeah. And Reddit has been awesome because you can find a heap of engineers complaining about the same thing. They're like, I've submitted the same document 10 times.
So moving to like the co-founders and dynamics of like your team, you've had several, I believe you've had several co-founders.
Yes.
So how do you find these co-founders and how do you know you're going to be a good fit?
I think you'll feel it, obviously, right? You'll get this nagging feeling in your tummy where it's like, this doesn't feel right. I'm not a person that sticks with something that doesn't feel right. So I'm pretty quick at making a decision of like cutting myself out from a bad situation. This is like where like I trust my gut. This doesn't feel right. We don't communicate well. We don't have the same vision, right? Obviously, that's extremely important. I step away. I've had a fair share of startups that didn't go for this particular reason, right? I don't pigeonhole myself into like, I just want to do tech. I'm so passionate about so many aspects of like the life around me and just can get curious about anything almost. So for example, I had a skincare startup with a friend actually, right? So she's a really good formulator. She was a great partner fit, but within the first month, I realized she just doesn't have the time. And I don't want to work on something where I know the other person just, they can't commit. So I'm like, okay, so unfortunately I need to step away. As much as I loved her as a partner, she just didn't have the time. And I don't want to, like, I can see in a month, I'm going to feel frustrated because I'm putting all of this time. So I'm like, okay, I'm stepping away from this. And that was quite tough because I'm like, I love the product and I loved her. Friends just saw her the other day, you know, and she's still talking about it. Maybe one day we can restart. I'm like, when do you have time? But where do I find them? People will come to me now because they know, okay, Adriana's entrepreneurial. I have an idea and I'm really passionate about it. So some friends, not a lot, but some friends will pitch me, like Alina, she's the skincare girl. Like, so she's pitched me this idea and I love that. So that's a good source because I have obviously my private channel and I put myself out there and I share all of my entrepreneurial journeys and people from my friend circle, they will come to me, which is great because I do think obviously they're friends for a reason, right? We get along, we communicate well. So that is a good pool. And I'm not afraid to ruin a relationship. I'm hoping that we're friends because we really work, right? As a friend partnership. Same thing for my partner. I just got lucky that we ended up being really good partners, both in personal and in business. Like it just worked. And then the third place that I really do really, really like, it's actually YC, you know, like they have the match, like the founder matchmaking platform. It is really good. It's free. You can obviously filter by exact interest and by your need. For example, you can say, I'm a technical co-founder looking for a marketing co-founder, vice versa. And the talent pool there is incredible. So I've actually had a previous startup founder. He's here in SF doing something completely different, but we had a really good run at doing a DeFi, basically like, we were trying to launch a DeFi platform together during the whole like crypto, literally right before like the crash. Thanks, Sam. But yeah, so he was actually an amazing co-founder fit, but unfortunately the industry was just, it wasn't the right time. So we kind of like, okay, we probably shouldn't be doing anything in the space right now. I found him through YC platform. So highly recommend for anybody looking for a co-founder.
That's good advice. I see a lot of people on the web and they're always looking for a co-founder, but they don't know how to do it.
Do not pay for matchmaking platforms. Like literally, like there's like two new platforms that just came out and they're trying to pay you to matchmake you. But literally YC does such a better job because they've been doing it for like 10 years.
Do you mind if we talk about revenue? You said you're just about to launch Stella. You're obviously probably pre-revenue there.
Yes, pre-revenue.
Right. So maybe about like a different company, maybe like your best year, something like that.
So Stella pre-revenue, not making money, will not be making money for another 3 months. We try it on. That one is already like the figures are public and also we're amidst selling the company. So I think I can talk about this. Basically, it's a 3 million ARR. And yeah, that was all completely bootstrapped. That was just me and my co-founder, Nathan. We have one more person working on it. So we're a tiny, tiny team. 90% is profit. So that's one company. And obviously it's also going to be like, you know, helping us bootstrap Stella.
Right. Congratulations. Which company was that one?
It's Try It On AI. So it's AI photography studio. I called it Try It On because we originally thought we would be doing like fashion photography and fashion styling, but we pivoted.
Since Stella's pre-revenue, going into like business strategy and growth, what methods have you found really effective, like for generating customer?
Good question. For me, just this is obviously an old timer, like an old tactic, but just having a wait list and figuring out. So for both for Try It On and for Stella, I'm doing one, wait list is on. I usually run an ad and I A/B test different audiences and I put almost nothing, right? Like I put like $20 in an ad and I just run it and see, number one, which audience resonates and clicks through more. all I'm testing for is their demand, right? And I just want to validate it through a very quick ad. And I want to figure out which of my audiences that I think is going to resonate will actually is resonating. So for Stella, for example, there's so many kinds of marketers, right? There's social media marketers, there's like traditional marketers, there's PR marketers, there's even like salespeople that might want to use this, there's business owners, enterprise, like there's just so many ways that you could sell this Stella to, right? But mm-hmm. the ones that actually resonated the most, so founders. Oh my God, when I ran the founder ad, that converted like fire. So now like I changed my entire landing page to kind of focus a little bit. Okay, so I need more founder talk in there. And now I have a landing page for founders because I know, okay, these guys are converting. The second one was I originally thought that like marketing managers in medium to enterprise businesses will convert more. And they are. They're still converting really well. It has ended up being like marketers that are basically running their own company. So kind of like business coaches. Yeah, it's kind of an interesting niche. It's I can target them because they're marketers by profession, but they also have their own business. So yeah, I don't quite know how to classify them. They're like marketing entrepreneurs.
That is so cool because I think, you know, a lot of people build, I read a lot on the internet and like Reddit and everything that people, they spend years building something and well, they don't have any demand for it. They never validated the idea. They've never checked to see if there's demand. And so they spent so much time and money and energy on this.
Do you know what? Like literally just running an ad on your landing page, but like don't stop if it's not converting, right? Mm-hmm. But like you also do need to have a pretty landing page, you know? But yeah, my like, and I've used this trick everywhere. I'm like in all of the startups is I have a landing page before I even build the product. I run an ad on different target audiences. I see which one actually bites. If none of them bite, something's wrong.
What's so side quest here. What's your favorite landing page builder? I'm sure people are going to want to know this.
Okay. You're going to, yeah. I'm so sorry to everybody, but you're not going to like this one. I love Squarespace.
Squarespace. Okay.
It's an oldie, but a goodie, but I've tried everything. I've tried Webflow, Framer, Wix. I even like built like a standalone one on Vercel. The best one is Squarespace for me. I love the UX. I love the UI. Their SEO works. I don't need to work extra harder. Framer SEO kills me. Like they just have not done a good job. I'm so sorry. Like if they want to come back to me and like, you know, debate that with me, I'd love to, but this is like Framer SEO. I hate complaining, but yeah, it has not worked for me. So Squarespace has worked like a charm. Everything is responsive. It is extremely affordable. SEO works every single time. Like this is so important to me.
How do you maintain a good relationship with them and keep them?
Good question. Yeah. It's something that I probably need to be better at. I'll go back to try it on, right? Like the early customers are really incredible. Like they still check in on me. They're really wonderful, but I feel like I don't actually do enough of like reaching back out and like, how are you guys doing? I really don't do enough of that. And it's something that I know that I need to improve as we grow. Like I do think there needs to be relationship management. I think there needs to be like a bigger like focus on community when your community is large. We have close to, try it on, we have close to 700,000 customers. And I don't have anybody really looking after them. So the enterprise clients, I look after them, right? Like I take great care of them, but I feel like I'm dropping the ball with our early fans and I need to be better. So I'm not the best person to like ask for advice on this because I need to improve.
For Try It On AI, for instance, what role does customer feedback play into improving the product?
Quite a lot. We've automated, first we built the feedback loop into the product itself. You know, after you receive your headshots or images, you can right away kind of feedback on the quality of them. If you don't like something, basically you say, okay, like I like it or I don't like it. What don't you like about it? So we actually understand, is it like all 100 images or 200 images you don't like, or there's something specific, like I don't like the jackets the AI is generating. So feedback can get pretty specific. So we have the feedback form is built into it. We review it together every single day when that comes in. And I'll tell you, like, we get feedback, but I thought we would be getting a lot more negative feedback and we don't. The feedback loop is built into the product. But other than that, yeah, every single time that somebody's unhappy, it'll be a personal approach. I'll reach out or my co-founder will reach out and we'll really take it on board. And so far, anything that was constructive, we would implement it into the product. So for example, when we early on launched, somebody reached out to me on LinkedIn and said, hey, I need a hijab. I was like, can you do it for me? I'm like, yeah, I can do it for you. So we implemented it into the product. Somebody else reached out and they said that they wanted glasses in all of the photos, not just in some. And I'm like, yeah, we can do that. So all of the feedback that we've received, as long as it's been constructive and somebody said, hey, I actually want this and I will pay for it, we've done it.
I apologize for transitioning from your old one, your old company to Stella and back and forth. Switching back to Stella, what did you think would be really easy when building it? It turned out to be magnificently hard, just crazy hard.
We haven't faced any really big challenges just yet. I think the biggest challenge will be we're building. The expectation now for Stella is quite high. Like the customers that we do have, and we have a lot of founders, we have quite a few enterprise companies, and they're not small. They're all extremely excited. I think that the big challenge is yet to come when they try it out. I'm afraid, I really hope that I meet their expectation, because obviously I set the expectation for marketing. Like I'm very mindful of like over-promising and under-delivering. Right now, what the biggest challenge is to make sure that when we launch, we're over-delivering on the promise. So I'm hoping to completely blow it out of the park. And Nathan really, like, he's the brains, like he's making sure that every recommendation, every copy made, every post suggested is here. It's not just, it doesn't look like just like a Midjourney post, like a Midjourney image post. This is the biggest challenge, is like, we really want to defeat every expectation anybody has.
Yeah. Customers first, right?
Yeah, that. And I really like the benchmark as well in the AI space. Everybody has already like, everybody's harder to wow. That magic of AI, like everybody's seen everything. Yeah, a video done all by AI, like cool, I've seen it. So beating that as well, truly making it a wow moment, is getting harder and harder the longer it takes us to release.
So moving toward kind of the end of the interview, more toward like your personal insights, what's your favorite part about being an entrepreneur?
Building whatever you want to be building, getting extremely creative, following your curiosity is just my favorite. Like, you feel so free in what you do, and your choices are truly your choices. I absolutely love following my curiosity for everything and knowing that I have the true power to create value. Like, it's up to me.
You mentioned kind of toward the beginning of the interview, your skill stack, and that you thought, hey, I want every skill I possibly can. What skills and traits do you think are essential? And what are some of those skills that you did that you skill stacked on?
This one is going to be easy. You need to get really good at building landing pages before you even build the product. It's like, don't start coding until you validate your idea. So learn how to do a really beautiful landing page. Use Squarespace or like Wix or any of these. Learn how to do proper ads. Learn how to do a very well targeted ad and know what success looks like. Can you actually track it? Like, basically learn how to do analytics. It's not just about the impressions. Like, has it actually converted in a sign up? A landing page, get good at ads and just a little bit of analytics, and you're golden at validating your ideas. That has been the most powerful thing. And for me, like the most important tool stack at starting up ideas and validating them.
And heck, you said when you were starting out your first landing page that it was only a $20 ad. Yeah. You don't have to have a ton of money.
You basically like, okay, so put yourself, this is my 30-day goal is to get X amount of signups, whatever means like success means to you, right? So your landing page is probably going to cost you $17 because Squarespace is going to charge you per month, then plus a $20 ad. Hopefully you can create the ad yourself in Canva. So I forgot about that one. Create a beautiful ad in Canva. Look, if you need to copy somebody else's ad, copy somebody else's ad. But yeah, and that's it. So it's like, it's max $50 to validate an idea.
Coming down to like the last couple questions, I always love asking everybody I interview this question. I think a lot of people can relate with the answers a lot of times. So like, what was your childhood like? Did you always want to own a business even when you were younger?
No, I think when I was younger, I wanted to be a diplomat. Lol. I studied economics and I went into politics for a very short time in China, out of all the places. And I think it wasn't quite for me. It was a very slow-paced environment. And I learned very quickly on that it doesn't quite suit me. As a child, I wanted to be a diplomat. I wanted to something within the field of economics. I was always very passionate about math. That was another kind of potential way I was going to go. Me and my family traveled a lot. I was exposed to a lot of different ideas. And that really helped me kind of shape and mold that there's no one way of thinking about things. There's no one country that can be like, that I can be successful and thrive in. I think I've just learned a lot from traveling as a child and just seeing how other people do things.
What advice would you give to someone that wants to build their own business but might feel stuck?
That one is near and dear to me because it's so easy to get started. But when you just don't know, and obviously like listening to a podcast, it might not help you get off the couch and then do it, right? So I suggest find somebody that will keep you accountable, or find Like, it doesn't have to be a mentor, but just anybody else that sits down with you 1 hour a week, or reach out to somebody on LinkedIn and say, hey, like, I'd really love your help to get started. Find an accountability buddy or find a startup buddy that can help you. Like, you know what? Let's just do this. You don't have to do it on your own. And sometimes people just, again, they're just blocked by, I don't know how to get started. Even after listening to podcasts and YouTubes, you just need to sit down with somebody to push you a little bit.
My last question for you is, what would you like to share with the readers? Something about Stella, something, maybe your launch date, what to expect, something like that.
I'm hoping that for founders that are really, or just for businesses that are really struggling with marketing, I really hope that Stella can actually help you solve a lot of the problems. That's what I'm building it for. I'm building it for people like me in the beginning who have no idea how to do effective marketing. I would love, love, love when we finally launch, so it'll be closer now to like mid-August. I would absolutely love to get feedback on it and honest feedback, because I want to build this for people like us and I want it to be useful. Give it a go and then tell me your honest opinion.
I'm excited to try it out too, because I think I'm you sold me on it. I appreciate you taking time for the interview, and it's been such a joy talking to you. I think people listening, reading, whatever, they're gonna, you share tons of amazing insights.
Oh, my pleasure. And I am like pretty open. If somebody's really serious about building a startup and they just need a little like push, they're like, you can just reach out to me on LinkedIn. I usually love helping founders who are serious. They're not going to waste my time. Like, they really, really want a bit of direction. Like, DM me.